It's time to double up. That's what we decided to do today. Double up.
Double team.
Double team. It's here at KFC Radio times two bears. There's four of us.
Let's go.
Is four people a gangbang?
100%. Cheers.
This episode of Two Bears, One Cave is sponsored by Kettle and Fire Bone Broth, made with all organic ingredients and bones from 100% grass-fed cows and free-range chickens. Kettle and Fire is available at almost any grocery store in the country. They have the cleanest and highest quality bone broth on the market, and it's great for fasting support. For a limited time, you can save 25% off your entire order when you go to kettleandfire.com/bears and use the code BEARS at checkout. That's kettleandfire.com/bears with code BEARS at checkout for 25% off your entire order.
Yeah. Oh no!
Yeah, it's a hardcore train.
It's a foursome.
Well, a train is if you like you have to do it in a train. You know what I mean? Like one after another. That's what makes it a train.
Yeah, it's a train.
Hold on, you're standing behind a dude hard.
Yeah,
going
yeah.
like I'm next.
And not only that, you're stroking your dick.
Yeah.
So like
you could be like smacking your dick on her foot if you want.
Yeah.
Have you been on the train? You speak from knowledge.
I don't know, just off the top of my head. Maybe. That's something someone would do.
Have you done that? Have you been in a train?
No. Fuck no. I've seen him though.
I don't think I could.
No.
Like,
no. Have you done threesomes, foursomes?
Nah.
No. There was me and a buddy one time were like, no, it didn't end up happening, but there was a girl who was like, she's like, I want you two to DP me. And we were like, fuck yes. We were probably like 20. And we spent the entire summer trying to get her to come back to Newport. We're like, we'll pay whatever. Come on down. And she never came back.
Wait, DP, that's dick input. Two dicks in her pussy?
Double penetration.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Wait, what is
just
that?
Just double penetration.
It's a one in the butt, one in the pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
but you know what the thing is that that skin between the two is really thin, so you really feel the other guy's dick.
Slapping balls. It's crazy.
What if that's your thing? All of a sudden you feel his dick rubbing your dick.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, oh, that's the thing.
That's
I love.
The move. Yeah.
Fuck. No. That would be the worst thing imaginable. Imagine that. Like, well, this is what I got to do now.
You just accept that that's who you are. You know? And hopefully your friends understand.
That's why I don't try heroin.
What's the best drug you ever had?
I did Dilaudid.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But it was when I fell off a waterfall. And I said, I'm going to write a poem as you give it to me because that's what you do. And so, because.
He was thinking of the great songwriters.
Yeah, you know? I'm like, Kurt Cobain wrote a bunch of great songs.
I'm
going to see if I can bang out a fucking one-hit wonder, fucking make my million, and then tap out, in and out, baby, like a bank robbery, like the town. Yeah. And so my poem was, oh, fuck, this feels so good. My face is hot. It is so awesome.
Yeah, it's a good song.
You know what? That would be a hit on TikTok these days. You'll go viral for that shit.
If the video existed, it would have 100 million views. Yeah.
Bert, like, laying in a waterfall with broken back on.
Oh, fuck.
I'm on
heroin. He saw me get dilated. That was the best.
Yeah.
The problem with me is I have to match your story with one of my stories. Yeah. There's a dude who fell off a cliff, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was telling me a story, and I go, I fell off a waterfall one time, and he was like, did you get paralyzed? And I was like, nope. He's like, then I don't think your story beats mine.
You still probably were like, yeah, but it really hurt. Like,
I was like, you haven't heard my struggle of getting out of that gravine.
But I think last time when you guys were on the show, we were talking about Dilaudid.
That's right.
Oh, we just did your show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of drinking that week.
Yeah.
A lot.
Speaking of which, let's find that dog that pissed in my mouth last night and have a little bit of its hair.
Okay. Sure.
I could have a fucking cocktail.
You never know with Bird. It might be a true story.
Yeah, remember. Oh, because, yeah.
All right. Let's really go viral. And I was told by a friend that I don't prepare for podcasts.
Friend of yours?
Yeah.
Friend who might have some podcasting experience?
And so let's find out. Last night was your first night meeting Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would like first impressions because Tom and I know him very well.
Yep.
And I use this analogy a lot. He's a little bit like a great white shark. Like when you see him and you're like, oh, fuck, that's Rogan. Like everyone
Big
does
time.
It. Yes. Everyone. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I am curious to see your insights of hanging out. You guys hung out with him last night.
First of all, just a great dude. Like a very, very gracious and humble, nice guy. But I mean, within 5 minutes, he's talking about elk meat and you know, a surgery to be able to run an ultra marathon and red light collagen treatment for your skin. And I was like, this motherfucker's, that's what he talks about.
Yeah,
he's
like,
the real deal.
Like, and not that I ever thought it was a shtick or anything that he was like putting on for the show, but knowing, I'll take one. Yeah,
have
one.
Pour it out. All right, we'll do a little. You know, he cleaned his life up like I did, but the old Johnny was a fucking mess.
I remember, dude, I always said, like, you know, the machine, we all know it. I was like, I know a guy who can go toe to toe with pretty much anybody.
Yeah. you have, his energy is infectious.
Rogan, yeah.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, Rogan's energy is really infectious. You know, it's fun to watch. I really love bringing people to introduce him to him.
Yeah.
It's
nice to have you, like, it would be a weird situation if I didn't have you to introduce, you know what I mean? I would never want to just roll up and I'm a fan. So getting, like, you know, a little in on that was, I think, made a difference. But the fact that he was so genuine, it was like, whether he's on the mic and making money talking about this or doing it for free, he talks about that shit.
It's the life he lives, dude. Yeah. He's just talking about the life he lives.
Which makes it all the more, I'm like, he is just, he's one life. All the money, all the friends, all the opportunities, all the fun. And it's not like he has to go to work and be like, all right, today I got to talk about MMA.
Let's trash him a little bit because
you can do
there
that.
There are parts of him that are exhausting. Like when he, oh, fucking Tommy.
Jesus.
Napkin.
Like when he tells you to stop working and he goes, you need to slow down. And you realize he works at a faster clip than anyone.
Yeah.
He works nonstop. He wakes up at 6 in the morning, is in the sauna, in the polar plunge, stretching.
He was saying that. He was like, you know, sometimes you can take on too much. And I was like, bro, you take on everything. Yeah.
He takes on everything.
He takes on everything.
But that's
where it's
also
everything.
Like, oh, don't get it twisted. Like, I'm better at you than this. So, like, you know, you should slow down. I'm good, you know?
Yeah, I think his thing mainly with me has always been my health.
Yeah.
Because he looks, it must be exhausting to look at me and go, you're like in your hem and all you care about is longevity and health. And go, you're just dying.
Yeah.
I've seen it with other people where you see it now. You can see it now when people are dying, and you go, oh, that's not a good look. That's not what you want.
Dying's not. Yeah. But how happy you were you last night to tell him that you had a good clean bill of health?
Fucking
that was great. You were like, I've been waiting to fucking tell you this. I'm perfect. And Joe really was. He was like, okay, all right. Like, God damn it.
He knows.
Say so. Yeah.
He knows that Bert's an anomaly, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's always like, there's something about that
he
guy.
He says it in a very genuine, he goes, and he really is better than he should be. I don't know. Cheers, boys. Gentlemen. Congratulations to what sounds like the most successful liquor drop of all time. Cheers, brother.
Okay.
Really, though, congratulations. This is awesome.
It is a fucking delicious vodka.
It's a good vodka.
It's a good vodka. No, what did you think of Rogan?
So Rogan...
Because you did a little bit of, like, you swam back into the cage a couple times. You got out of the cage with the great white, and you were like, I want to see how close I can get to it. And you ponied up next to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And you swam out of back into the cage, and I go, where are you going? And you're like, ah, it's too much.
Well, it was... So first of all, like, we had a buddy who told us, he's like, I was just about to leave and I saw Rogan coming, so I came back in. So I was aware Rogan was in the building, and I'm not a Rogan fan, but I don't listen to the podcast, I'm not a super fan either. So, but like being in the building with him, you immediately become a super fan.
Right.
Like, I was instantly like, where is he? My eyes were darting like the whole time. And I finally saw Kevin. I was like, wait, Kevin, wait, that's Joe Rogan next to him. And our producers, Paz and Jackie, were like, go talk to him. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, that'd be crazy to just go interrupt Tom, Bert, Kevin. Like, I'm not going to do that. And then we kept being like, yeah, let's not go over. That's crazy. And then we just kept inching and inching. And like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
5 minutes later, we're like, why are we close? Does he have a wake? Like, what is pulling us into him?
Yeah.
The Rogan then, gravity.
It was like hot girl energy. I wanted to talk to her.
Like, I blinked. I was like, I'm standing next to him. What the fuck? How'd this happen?
Oh, hey, how are you?
But then when I finally got there, what he was talking about was, I was like, my mind was blown, right? Because he was just like, I could overhear a little bit him just being like, and his forearms, he's got big forearms.
Steve Garvey.
And he's like, the picture?
Yeah, the picture up. He's like, look at these things. They'd punch a hole right in your head. How you doing? I'm Joe. This is what Joe Rogan's talking about right now.
Yeah, he's like, that guy is.
You can't script it. You can't. I mean,
built to fuck you up.
Because he's got a frame like an MMA guy. I told Shannon Sharp the same thing. I was like, that's crazy.
Specifically Google forearms. Yeah. Steve Garvey forearms. And there's that one picture where he's like, hey, that one all the way on the right.
All the way on the right. Yeah. That's what Joey's showing us. Look at those fucking forms. Yeah. By the way, he's running for office in California, and you got my vote, Steve.
That's Joe's lock screen right there. Fucking Garvey holding that
I thought
that
I was bat. Like, that's, you know, it's got to be fake or whatever. You look at all those pictures. It's hairy. Yeah. He looks like an abominable snowman, you know? Yeah. It's a Yeti.
But I told, when I met Steve Garvey, I think I told you guys this last night, and I said to him, my friend growing up, his mom dated you in high school. And he went, who? And I said her name, and he went, you know, I get mixed up with Steve Harvey a lot. And I went, I think I would remember if she dated Steve Harvey. That would be a very different story.
People always confusing me for Steve Harvey.
So he didn't remember, though?
No, he didn't remember her.
But here's the thing about those guys, baseball players.
Oh, buddy.
So much pussy.
Yeah. Well, because you're on the road.
Yeah. 180 fucking games. 160 crazy. Games.
182?
No, what's 162, and you're on the road for 81 of them. So,
right. And he's thinking of decades of pussy. He's like, Shannon. I don't know. Like,
well, have you ever heard the Mulaney bit about Clinton?
No.
When he's talking about when he was a kid and his Clinton was running for election and his mom had gone to college with Clinton, and she was like, I want to see if he remembers me. And he's telling the story how she pushes up this little John Mulaney in order to get to Bill Clinton, and Clinton sees her and whatever. And he goes, hello, Shannon. And he goes, because Clinton never forgets a bitch.
He swallows. He doesn't forget the ones that swallow.
I believe that he would remember, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has like that type of charisma. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
he's
for
got,
sure.
You know, that's why he's Clinton. He winks at you, shakes hands, kisses babies, and like makes you feel like the most, belle of the ball.
I remember that thing he used to do with my balls. Fucking moves on to the next person. You're like, oh my God, he remembers.
This episode of Two Bears, One Cave is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. That's right. It happens to all of us. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people like myself, or maybe you need some alone time like my wife, Leanne. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. My battery's charged when around people. I need to be around people. I got to be honest with you, Leanne's isn't. And we both are in therapy, and we talked about that in therapy, and we learned to give each other space to recharge. And that isn't just me giving alone time. It's Leanne allowing me moments to have people over. And we learned the best way to communicate is for me to ask her first. We learned this in therapy. It works for us. Therapy is awesome. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bears today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bears.
An action-packed fight card is taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. This is what I'm talking about, man. Big events, big bets, getting involved. The excitement, the thrill of watching every round is so much better when you got a bet going. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code BEARS. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code BEARS. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/MMA for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, you know what's interesting is, I'm not calling anyone out, but some guy came up to Joe and told him about a meeting he had with Joe about investing in one of Joe's companies or something.
At the party?
And Joe just, I watched Joe go blank. And the guy starts to walk away. He goes, he's a fucking liar. I've never met him. And I was like, Joe's the kind of guy that remembers.
He remembers everything.
Who he's met and who he hasn't met.
For sure.
My favorite. And once again, you know I love you, John. You know I love you. John Cesari, my buddy. I always fuck his last name up. The guy, you know,
bro, until right now, I think you're talking about me. I was like, I know it's a tough last name, but it's not Cesari.
Is this the big guy?
The big dude.
He's my Instagram guy.
Cesari?
I think it's Cesari. Cesari.
Cesari?
You pull him up. Ooh, 1313. Say a prayer.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, my brain is broken. My brain is so broken. He's there last night, and he goes, and I said,
Yeah. Which one is it?
He's, yeah.
Okay.
No.
You had it. You had it in the search. It was auto correcting for you.
That's it.
Nope.
Instagram. Anyway. He's
Notre Dame. Yeah.
Notre Dame. He played for Notre Dame. He's a fucking.
No, not author. Oh, Notre Dame.
Yeah. That's him.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's a big personality. I love the guy.
Sarasani.
Yeah. Sarasani. Okay. John Sarasani. He's on Instagram. Give him a follow. He's fun as fuck. I love hanging out with him because he's a big energy.
He's
got my energy. And I love it. And he said, I said, Rogan's coming by. And he goes, well, I can't wait to meet him. I said, hold on. Let me introduce you to him. He goes, no, I'm good. And I went, no. Let me introduce you to him. Mm-hmm. And then as you watch people introduce themselves to Joe, no one does it well.
No.
No one does it well because the move is just stand there. Wait for him to say hi to you. And then he'll be generous with his time.
Yeah.
But the fucking people that earbeat him, like, mm-hmm. they could just go up. It's as his friend, you feel protective of his time because you're like watching some bitch just... I watched this chick roll in last night and it's like,
some bitch.
And she was like, aliens? And you're like,
some people, right? Like, just someone, like you said, be very cognizant of their time. You know what I mean? Like,
there's a weird thing of like super famous though.
You know what I mean? People just kind of lose their
there's
mind
all these
over
stories
it.
Now because like you get it, like we know Joe, so we've been around, like you think everything's normal, and then someone spots someone, you're like, oh shit, yeah, he's super famous. Like, mm-hmm. you forget. But then like there's stories, like all these Michael Jordan stories are insane, of like how he's like, I don't give a fuck who you are to people. Like, there's, have you seen the Chameleonaire story?
No.
Dude, he's Chameleonaire, so is a pretty well-known rapper. Is at a party, and like, you know, some whatever event, probably like last night, and he walks around in this back room. There's like Derek Jeter and a couple like big time, you know, former basketball players, and MJ. And so he walks up and he's like, "What's up?" And he said Jordan was like, fuck off. Like, I don't give a fuck you. Yeah. And then he's like, oh no, I'm a Chameleonaire. He's like, I don't give a shit who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I have a jersey of yours that I got at an auction, and I would love if you sign it. And he said, Jordan was like, do you have $25,000? And the friends were like, no, like, he's cool. Like, this is Chameleonaire, he's cool. He's like, I don't give a fuck.
You have $25,000.
And then he's like, go get $25,000, I'll sign your shit.
Otherwise, gangster.
Get the fuck out of
gangster.
Here.
Gangster.
But like, also, the part of you goes like, that's crazy. But then part of you has to think like, yeah, but what's it really like to be anywhere and be Michael Jordan?
Because that's happened to him like a billion times from everybody. Like, so eventually you go, give me $25,000.
Dude, I was just at dinner in Miami and I was sitting next to David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it was actually very cool because no one was talking to him. And I was like, that's pretty sick that like everyone's giving Poppy his time.
Yeah.
And then we happened to both be in the bathroom at the same time. And in the bathroom, it was insane. It was like people were just waiting for him to get up from his table.
Yeah.
And he was the opposite. He was incredible. People were asking him to take selfies while he was like taking a piss. He's like, come on in, baby.
Really?
People were like, that's yelling. Cool. They're like, fuck it, go Yankees. He's like, shut the fuck up. And it was like, it was the exact opposite of that situation. But I was thinking exactly that while we were at dinner. I was like, it's crazy that like no one's bothering him right now.
Yeah.
But then in the bathroom, it's like, I guess once you get to your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
What's crazy is that Joe's still in the cut. Like he still hangs.
I was when I saw that setup, I was like, Rogan's not coming here. It's gonna be a fucking frenzy if he walks in.
He closed the bar down.
Yeah.
He closed the bar. Shane Gillis helps when he's like, one more drink. I was blacked out at that point. Yeah. Leanne had pulled the plug on me. She was like, you're done. How many Zins are in your mouth? She's like, come on, I got 3 burgers, let's go home and fuck. And I was like, and then Shane's like, one more drink. I love that energy. I love when someone's like, one more. That's why I love Gillis, is like, you can tempt him into drinking and he can tempt me into, I love it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I
dude, when we had to leave,
what was that?
We were on our way out the door.
What are they laughing at?
I think they're just laughing at the fact that you don't really need to be tempted
to drink. We you know, we were getting up to do our show before this and we knew we were doing that. So it was like 1 o'clock. We're like, we gotta go. And I was like, I'm afraid to tell Shane we're leaving because I know he's going to be like, you pussy, stay and have another one. And I was like, we're going to stay and have another one.
He's like, you know what? Shane's like the guy in high school that hasn't found pussy yet. Like, he's the guy that just is about the bros.
The best, though.
And football.
That's
and
the best.
And he's like, bro, what do you mean you're going to fucking beach week? Yeah. We got 2 days.
Yeah. Right.
Dude.
Dude, that reminds me of the age-old question. And everyone always has the right answer. But one of our coworkers once asked us, for like, say a genie comes down and he's like, you can only do one of two things for the rest of your life. You can make women come or you can make your homies laugh. What are you choosing?
And
yo, you gotta take the homies. Come on.
You know, I spent a very solid part of our relationship not making your man come and it was not good. Knowing it.
Right.
And being fine. Very cool with it, actually. And being like, well, it's about me. Yeah. She just likes it being in her, I guess.
Yeah, she hates it, but you're good. So
I talked to an investor last night and he goes, your vodka's good. And I regret, and I kept saying it. I couldn't shut my mouth. I go, buddy, Malcolm Gladwell says you have to put your 10,000 hours in. Well, I put my 10,000 hours in two things. Drinking vodka and eating pussy. I go, let me introduce you to my wife. And it was like, everyone was like, ah.
Well, I don't know about that one, but we did say on our show earlier today, you might be the greatest introducer of all time. You might be better at introducing people than anybody is than Jordan at basketball. Like, and also it's because you're lying. Like, he introduced us to a couple billionaires. He's like, these guys have the biggest podcast on the planet. They're, you know, they're movie stars. I was like, okay, how are you, man? Nice to meet you.
I've seen this many times. Bucks. I know exactly. It does make you feel good.
Yeah.
He's really good.
You walk away believing. I'm like, I think he's right. Yeah. I think we are movie stars.
I love the Chicago Bulls intro music as I meet someone. Because they go, hey, can I introduce your friend? And then I hear, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bird Kreischer. And I'm like, very good to meet you. Have I shown you my stomach?
From North Carolina.
Yes.
6'6".
Yes.
We were talking about our balance, because even this trip was you texted both of us.
Don't fucking pussy sip. I know what you're doing, dude. Listen, you little fucking when you pussy sip it, I've been there where you're like, oh, let's have a drink, and then you go, but I'm not really drinking. When you're with the boys, you have a drink, Kevin.
Cheers. You're right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What I was
I'm
saying.
Actually, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm doing all right.
Well, yeah, you have work to do.
Okay.
I told him today on our show, I was like, I'm so grateful for you, because when we got the text, I was very happy to be invited, but I was like, I don't know if we're just going to fly in for one night to party. And he was like, let's go. We're going. You know, like, these guys have been great to us. We're going. And I was like, fuck yeah, we're doing it. And then when we get there, so he makes me go to do things, and then I'm getting people's numbers, and I'll be the one who follow up and text and have them come on the show and all that. So it's like he makes me come to the building, and then I'll do all the follow up work. And it's like, that's the only way we work together. Otherwise, we would just be bums at home.
He's
you know?
He's the fucking 19-year-old hanging out at the high school selling weed. You're the guy bringing in the packages.
It works.
And by the way, there's a reason we're sitting like this.
I will say this, though. I had no idea you guys were going to be there, but mm-hmm. that is also the magic of Bert, is that he'll just like, I texted like, everybody, all my friends, everybody I know in who live in different parts of the country. And you're like, you invited them to this?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. No, like, really I would always, my mind is like, these guys live in New York.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking yeah, coming down here.
Put that on them. Yeah,
I would never think to invite somebody to fly down here, ever.
It was the second we saw that text. I was like, of course we're going to
this. Well, they're, you know, sometimes I feel underappreciated. Not today. Not today. I have theme music today. I've been walking around with theme music.
Just so amazing, you know?
I did one of the coolest things in the world that any dude's going to do for their friends. I did. When I surprised you guys and flew you to Amsterdam.
Yes.
And you know that story, right, Tommy?
Yes, I do. So, and I feel like you should be appreciated for it.
Oh, no, no. I got my appreciation last night. And I say this and like, it never went viral the way I thought it should, and that never was repaid with other people the way I thought it should. Like I thought it should be a thing dudes do, and you know I did it because you do it to your friends, not at the last minute. But Tom flies out friends he grew up with. He's like, "Yo, I'm at the United Center for two shows. It's fucking big. Why don't you come out? We'll have dinner. We'll spend some time together." It's Tom's brain. Of course, I go, how do I monetize that? And so I go, I'll fly to Amsterdam.
How do I get worldwide appreciation for that?
It's insane.
The internet did not worship me properly.
Worship me properly.
When we did Habitat for Humanity, he's like, I want my fucking name on a building. Naturally, our hunt for a tasty and hefty nicotine pouch has led us to Lucy Breakers, a totally unique nicotine capsule pouch, a breakthrough in nicotine tech, if you will. Each Lucy Breakers pouch contains a liquid-filled capsule. Give the capsule a little bite to break it and toss it in your lip. Why the capsules? Pouches have to be wet to work. The breaker wets the pouch for instant flavor and nicotine. Lucy Breakers comes in two strengths, 4 milligrams and 8 milligrams. And they have so many flavors like mint, mango, apple ice, berry citrus, apple cider, and espresso. Personally, I love the ritual of breaking them open, doing a little, feeling it snap between your teeth, and then letting it just sit and marinate. And they have little a little pouch, little door compartment on the top of the can that you can take one out if you don't have a trash can nearby, which I think is brilliant. Visit lucy.co/bears and use promo code bears to get 20% off your first order. That's lucy.co/bears and use promo code bears to get 20% off your first order. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
The best way to learn a new language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every single day. But if that's not in the cards for you this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is the equivalent to a full semester at college. Let me tell you, my daughter, Georgia Kreischer, is obsessed with Babbel, and she is learning Spanish. She is learning Spanish quicker than a trip to Mexico. I'm telling you, this kid speaks Spanish, and I watch her use it. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/bears. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/bears. That's spelled babbel.com/bears. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, God.
You would be a great dictator. Like Dear Leader, where they make you like cry for a month if you die. You would be perfect.
This is one of his fantasies.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a hardcore one of my fantasies.
I get that. I've gone home with dinner once where I had a bag that like of extra food, and I was walking with a girl, and I was like, I'm going to give it to a homeless person. And she's like, oh, there's one. And I was like, he's asleep.
Yeah.
She's like, so just leave it in front of him. I was like, well, he's not going to say thank you. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
I got to wake him up.
I kept there. I was like, I'll find the guy who's awake and he's going to appreciate me properly for my half a chicken roast.
My flowers came last night when I said, hey, Joe, can I introduce you to two guys? And he said, sure. And I said, it's... Kevin and John, they have a great fucking podcast. Bring you over, you guys say hi. And he's like, and then privately I'm talking to him and I was like, you know, they really have their finger on the pulse of like funny comics. Like if there's a comic on their show, it's a fucking legit comic. They really know comedy and this and that. And he's like, how do you know them? And I said, I really don't know, but this is why I love them. I said, I texted them with 24 hours notice to fly to Amsterdam last year. And Joe's like, what? And I got my flowers for that whole trip in Rogan going, hold on, wait, what do you mean? I said, buddy, 24 hours notice. I said, I'm going to text you. You have to show up at the airport. You can't tell, you don't know where you're going until you get there. And I flew to Amsterdam. He's like, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and he goes, how was it? And I was like, it ended with us and the dude from Entourage at Flying Dildos getting face fucked by fucking pussies. And Joe's
bro,
like,
I got ass fucked by a shoe.
Ass to mouth. Ass to mouth.
Ass to mouth. Ass to mouth. But the best is Joe goes, who from Entourage? And I was like, this is perfect. It was all the payoff I needed for that trip for Joe to go, 24 shit. Hours? And they did it? Shut the fuck up. Well, who from Entourage?
I want to make sure you know how much we appreciate that.
I know that.
We've said thank
that.
You a million times before, but it truly was one of the most baller moves ever. Like, that's the shit you should do when you got money and made it and have opportunities. And like, but, you know, a lot of people don't do it. That was so fucking awesome, man.
It was maybe one of the funner days of my life. It was also Winston Churchill Day.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was Chinese New Year's.
Yep. And we all were dressed up and red and everything. Mm-hmm.
It was, if I could live that day over again, I'd do it again. Like my Groundhog Day, that was fucking fun. Mark blacked out on mushrooms and then we found him
returned,
in a canal.
When he came back, it was incredible.
What, Tom, what is it about you that doesn't make you want to live a fun life? Because when you get Tom loose, it's the funnest. Mm-hmm. It's the funnest. Like when you see these are the words. Do you want to go upstairs and have a cigar? Like that's when you know.
Well,
Tom's
yeah, I'm
just
saying you gotta get into Tom's things. He doesn't like the things that you know what I mean. If you do a bunch of shit he doesn't like, he's not gonna get excited for it.
Oh, fucking! If you say, "Hey, I got a guy who says we can drive Lamborghinis on a track,"
that's
Tom's
gonna
dick
see
gets hard.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. I do like that.
It's hard to drive when you're dick's hard.
I was gonna say I
could use another. I know you could do. Let's get off the fucking rails.
I am so not good at spending money at all. I was telling a story recently where I was talking to a financial advisor, and he was like, "So what's your 5-year plan?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't have one." And he's like, "Well, what do you need the money for?" And I was like, "Well, I guess I don't need it." And he was like, "So what do you want me to do with it?" I was like, I don't know. I guess I don't really care what you do.
Bro, that's pretty amazing.
Listen to this. One time, like the very first time we ever even like talked to an agent, they were like, "What's the lowest you'll go? Like, what's like the lowest point for your salary as we go into this negotiation?" John goes, "I don't know, like half of what I'm making now." And he was like, "We're not gonna go lower, dude. Are you crazy?"
He's like, "What would be your hard no?" And I was like, "If they cut my salary in half, I'd definitely be pretty pissed."
We are the worst fucking businessmen on the planet.
Yeah. No, yeah. One more. He benched 135 42 times.
42 times.
Jesus
bro,
Christ.
The only person who can... We do an NFL Combine at Barstool.
I love what Barstool's doing, every, by the way. I love what Barstool's doing.
42?
Right, dude, it was nuts. Jesus. It was crazy. We've done it 3 times now. We did one 12 years ago, whatever it was. It was me, Portnoy, and Big Cat, just the 3 of us. And then we had one like 5 years ago when the company got bigger. And now we did like a real official one in our new Chicago office. We had all the right equipment and everything. And... you know, Will Compton is on the roster. And so he's like, we're all like thinking, he's probably going to win the fucking combine, you know? But I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to give him a run for his money. And I think Will, it took Will every ounce of his being to beat Feitelberg at 43. But I was like, yeah, he's also just coming off of a fucking NFL career. Yeah. My guy here is just a regular dude.
And you realize he went into a dark place to get 43.
Oh,
there was a door in his head that it was like, you can't fucking let a regular person
I think if I went after him, I think it was whoever went last wins.
Yeah, I could have seen that.
I went first. I hit 42. I think he hit 43. If he hit 43, I was hitting 45.
And I don't want to hate on the boy, but some of those reps were a little short.
Wow.
Feitelberg was going chest to elbows locked. I'm just saying. But I mean, people who say
lock it out, or people who say that's not a full push up, go all the way up, are the same as Holocaust deniers. Shut your fucking mouth. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what the numbers are. 6 million. Let's just say 6 million. Fucking 6 million. That's enough. All right? They killed some. You have to admit, they killed some.
A bunch.
Yeah. Full extension. Same thing. Full extension.
Exactly the same as the combine, man.
That is crazy. I'm curious about this because, like, Pickett's a big dude. Like, if he gets after it.
But he's not in good shape.
Like, I know. But, like.
He was. When he first started, he used to do CrossFit.
I was going
to
say.
He was, very fit. And I remember all of us were like, well, that's we don't do that around here.
Yeah, I think we had heard the name Big Cat from Chicago, and we just pictured, like, fucking
Big Cat from Chicago.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time seeing Danner, I was like, oh, damn, he's in, like, shape and shit. Fuck that.
Yeah.
But I remember we did say, like, because at this point, we're not doing podcasts, we're not doing videos.
Yeah.
We are literally just blogging from home, posting pictures of, like, celebrity girls' asses and just, like, dick jokes and shit. And we were like, give it some time. And, you know, within a few months, he fell into the blogger lifestyle pretty quickly.
He's eating hot dogs every meal.
Yeah. You know why? Yeah. He's pretty. He's too pretty, and pretty guys, pretty boys, their stomachs fall apart. Like if you, he's a pretty boy. He's a pretty boy.
Is that you making excuses for yourself?
No. Listen, my problem was me. But Big Cat's a strikingly attractive man.
Yeah. Jesus Christ,
he's a good looking man.
Are you gonna fuck Dan? What's going on?
No, he's a good. Dude.
He's got very pretty eyes.
I was gonna say the eyes are beautiful.
He's a gorgeous dude.
Let Dan hear it. Tell him. Like, just
Dan
to camera.
Hey Dan, Big Cat, you are good looking. If you had been my bracket when we fucked people, I'd let you come inside me before kill a cam.
Oh, my God.
Now, wait. Did you guys not... Do you guys not cool with gay shit?
Oh, please.
Okay, so... But the problem with good-looking guys is sometimes they ignore their body because their face... Then when they put on a shirt, they go, the face is going to do the work.
Yeah.
And then, this is the moneymaker.
This is the moneymaker. The jawline's still there. I'm rocking a mustache. Mm-hmm. Good eyes. Good hairline. Mm-hmm. I can throw on glasses. Everyone thinks I read. Like, and that's what happens to pretty boys is their body falls apart. Yeah.
I get that makes... Honestly, you really landed that plane.
Buddy,
I was like, what is he talking about? And
now I deserve a fucking potty for this podcast. I'm killing it today.
Yeah.
The Holocaust analogy is the best analogy I've ever come up with in my life.
Yeah. Just, it's a lot like bench reps.
Lock it out.
Yeah. Here's a good one that we just said the other day for you, Bert. I think you like this. If you could bring back someone from the dead and have sex with them, who would it be?
We think there's a right answer for.
I didn't know sex was going to be part. I was going to say my grandma. I was like, thank God I didn't fucking answer that quick.
That's my answer. Your grandma.
Answer the buzzer before the question's done.
Grandmother. And fuck her. If I could bring someone back from the dead and fuck her.
Or him.
No.
We said there. I believe there's an actual correct answer for women and gay men.
I have my goat list. Is Jackie O.
Jesus. Feitelberg went down the same road. A similar road.
Yeah.
Dude. Jesus.
First ladies. I had Nancy Reagan.
Fights with Nancy Reagan.
The throat goat.
You know that story?
I've heard.
No. Tell everyone who doesn't know about how great Nancy Reagan was at sucking cock.
Maybe the biggest case of desecrating a dead person ever. But it was a couple of years ago. It went viral that she just sucked everybody off and gave the best head.
I don't think it's desecration.
We're praising
it's just
her.
Hey, here's something you know about this person. It's like how we just learned Fidel Castro could ball.
Yeah.
But it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. He can hoop.
It's crazy to think of Nancy Reagan.
He might have.
Wait, what?
It's crazy to think of Nancy Reagan on her knees just like.
Just like slobby head.
And you're like. Nancy.
And it was everybody.
Her hair didn't move.
It was like every from politicians to movie stars, like everybody.
Oof. Jane Mansfield would be badass.
Who's that? Was it?
It's the epic picture of Sophia Loren.
I was going to say Sophia Loren.
Whoa. Sophia Loren's a fucking...
Sophia Loren is...
That is a great
In her prime?
I'm gonna tell you, let's take it this way.
Now, hold on. Are you bringing them back from the dead like right before they die or into their...
No,
Are they 83? And you're like, just stay alive, fuck. Two more minutes.
I'd fuck Susan Sarandon now.
I was going to say, she's alive.
She's alive. She's
older.
Going
to hear this. That's awkward.
Well, hard offer. I'm in. Susan Sarandon is still fucking hot.
Yeah, she's sexy.
I don't want to hear her talk, but like, she would be exhausting. Fucking. She'd be like, so your friends are...
Do you realize that she was smiling a moment ago and then she was like, oh, this guy's a fucking asshole?
Sorry.
So she went from like, that's nice. So like, you want to hear me
talk?
I have
nothing. That's the beauty of, and I say this and I hope you guys hear this the right way. This is better than anyone can ever do. This is the funnest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah.
Is to have really funny friends and see them and then fly in to for your vodka launch and then go, hey, do you guys want a podcast tomorrow? And you guys go, we'll change our flight.
Bro.
And then go, let's fucking hang tomorrow.
Because it's also the ease of it. You know what I mean? Like, you can be a movie star and all these, like, you can tour Taylor Swift, but that's hard. That's a lot to do. And I mean, I guess you guys go on tour a lot, so, like, the comic lifestyle is not easy. But doing this is, like, for the opportunities it can afford and the money you can potentially make and kind of how easy it is to just kick it with your friends.
Yeah.
It's like... I feel like it's like some secret we unlocked. I'm like, why don't all you guys try to do this?
And we're not that talented.
No, that's yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's the thing.
I'm definitely not talented.
I will say
this. I am for sure not talented.
To all you guys out there starting podcasts, you're better than us. Yeah. Like, I'm being serious. I watched a dude have a clip going, I made the greatest mac and cheese in the world last night. That was the beginning of his clip. And I went, God, where does he come up with his material? Because I watched his whole fucking video with some fat guy. And like, I don't even know if it's a podcast or they just do clips these days.
Yeah, but
like,
that's true too.
But like, dude, when you think of, and I think about this a lot, like Tom and I started doing Two Bears, and I think it, all this, everyone was doing solo podcasts, and then all of a sudden you start seeing buddy podcasts. Man, they're so good. You guys are so good. Like, your podcast is so good.
Thanks,
when you
bro.
See, like,
thank you, man.
McCusker and Shane
yeah.
are
it's
amazing.
Chemistry. Especially those guys who have known each other truly forever.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't replicate that.
But it's like, there's so many fucking solid podcasts out there that I start going like, yeah, I'm gonna get found out. I'm just selling jeans. Everyone else is digging for gold and I'm selling Levi's. But this job, I'd do this forever.
Yeah.
Are you guys gonna get in on the streaming wave at all? We have a lot of guys at Barstool doing these crazy streams. Like, just last night we had one guy, Jerry, locked himself in a gym and he did not leave until he broke Caitlin Clark's scoring record. Last night he scored 3,500 whatever points. He had 509 threes.
Such a disrespect.
It took him 5 hours.
That's it?
He had like 500 threes, 600 twos, and 700 free throws, whatever
and
it was.
Like, I'm better than you, woman. Like, that was the whole fucking... so many guys, and I'm like, yeah, fuck that bitch. You got her. Like,
you know, you guys are the pushback. Woke culture is Barstool. Like, you guys are the pushback. What you guys are doing, I find so fucking fascinating. Like, when that kid, I don't know who he is, but he locked himself in a room to hit a hole in one.
Same guy. Who did the King Clark one.
He took, you know, like 2,000 strokes to get a hole in one.
Really?
Oh, buddy.
It took him like 48 hours.
This is my breakdown.
He was like, on a course? Hands were bleeding.
No, it was a simulator, and he just swung.
2,000?
And he played Pebble Beach.
Yeah, it was like Pebble Beach 8, maybe, something like that.
He had, like, you know, J.J. Watt and celebrities, like, chiming in on it. Golf guys were watching it.
It was awesome.
We have a guy. So we had the dude last night doing the scoring record. The same time, we have a dude right now, as we speak, he's living in solitary confinement for a week.
And
he's just in a room by himself.
And they play a song every fucking 5 minutes, right?
It's streaming.
Streaming live.
And
you watch the whole thing. He's sleeping.
Do you pay to watch it?
Nope, it's free.
Yeah, that feels like that whole world is like so set up for his brain.
This guy was counting grains of rice. They're giving him these stupid challenges while he's in there. He had to put together a puzzle while he had oven mitts on. You got to count the number of grains of rice.
Can I soft pitch my idea? This is my baby. I've wanted to do this forever. It's called Stranded and Branded. I want to move to a desert island and only sustain my life off of corporate integrations. So people will send me, Porosos would be one, great integration. I would love Lucy's, Kettle and Fire, but they send them in crates to my island, and I only can live off of branded integrations. And I live there for 30 days. And the first one, I'd love a car sponsorship, a nice Subaru, dropped off on the island, and then I get to tear it apart and use it as a castaway in every way possible. But, like, I love...
Bro, these are the things you can make that happen.
I don't have 30 days. Like, it's tough. It's
30,
tough.
But just do a week.
Love what Barstool's doing, and I think it's because... I honestly think it's because you guys got bought by the big company, and Dave bought it back for a dollar, mm-hmm. and you guys all then went public. You had money, and you got to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's so cool. When I look at, like, when I watch the Combine... I watched it live. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of shit on my plate.
Yeah.
And I watched it live. I went to YouTube.
Tuesday, 11 a.m. or whatever?
I went to YouTube, and it said upcoming or something. You know,
yeah,
like, it's, and I
about
went,
to premiere.
I'll leave it here.
Yeah.
And then I heard them talking. And it was Big Cat, I think I heard first, and I went, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I fucking love that shit. I love it so much. It's so funny, too, because it is TuneIn Network. Like, it is, like, old school.
Yeah.
Like,
appointment television.
Yeah, have you noticed, is it a big shift since Dave came, or like the ownership changed?
Us personally, like, we never really changed. We kind of said and did whatever we wanted all the time.
Which but, probably wasn't the smartest play, but we're not really gamblers. So like, it would have been fake if we were like went big on like Penn Gaming. Like, you know, you talk about gambling here and there, but like we weren't gamblers, so like it didn't really work. So
the guys who were gambling were like, you have to change your whole, you can't talk a certain way, you have to make certain bets.
Which is like a big part of your guys' culture, though, as a brand.
Right, yes. So yeah. It was, yeah, you know, a little bit tough for those guys, and then when, now that Penn sold us and we're like, those clamps are off, it was a little like freeing for those guys, I think. But
okay.
We never, I would say on the whole, there was a couple things here and there that you weren't allowed to say about gambling, and maybe a couple times people would bite their tongue about certain jokes or whatever, but like for the most part, we let it fly.
Well, the one guy got fired, and then Dave rehired him, right?
Yeah.
What did he say? Sang the N-word or something?
He was so dumb.
Yeah. I don't mean that he did that. It was so gay to watch unfold that somebody clearly like reading something.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, and then they'd be like, you're fired. Like, it was what? Like,
that's corporate mentality, and that's not what I subscribe to at all. But it's what I love about the direction Barstool's going in. Is it just seems untethered.
It's very much like it's a situation that never ever happens where, you know, it's like, was it pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. I think there was probably a 3-year run where we were a hog, where it was just like we were being corporate. It wasn't great content. I think it was only like probably like the last 2 or 3 years of Penn.
It means we got like too big for our britches. We kind of got like fat and slow.
Still sitting there going, wait, isn't it the same thing? I don't know which one
pigs,
I am.
You fatten up a pig to kill it so you can feed people with it.
Yeah.
So pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. We were a hog for a while. And I think you very rarely get to see a company become a pig again.
Yeah, we came back.
I think we somehow, I can't think of it ever happening with another company. Where it's like, all right, you guys are the little guy again.
Right.
And
yeah, somehow we became like the underdog again. Dave's buying a $42 million house, but we're the underdogs.
It's insane.
I do love that he unabashedly talks about his money.
Yeah.
I love it. It inspires me. It really does. I go.
Well, he's also, he's a dude who like, he, you know, delivered fucking newspapers in a shitty like van for
he worked his way up.
So when you get there, it's like, fuck yeah,
he's got a beautiful swing, beautiful baseball swing.
Faster hands than Delino DeShields.
He's a beautiful baseball swing.
That was the line his baseball coach told him. He coached Delino DeShields, and he's like, you got faster hands than him. And Dave will tell you that every single time you talk about baseball.
Wade Boggs broke down my swing. I love how quick.
How about this? We got another guy, Marty Mush, who he said, I'm going to go face major league pitching this in spring training. I'm going to do 100 at-bats. How many hits do you think I'm going to get? We were like, fucking zero, dude. Yeah. He faced Trevor Bauer, went 2-for-4. First four at-bats.
Oh, 2-for-4. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
he went 2-for-8.
Right, but like right away, like ripped a single up the middle. Like,
and they had a simulator that is that would have dropped in. That would have been like a base gap.
Can I tell you all I think when I hear that? Is imagine if that guy was famous. your buddy.
Yeah.
And all I think is Bert can do that.
Link up with him. Go down. He still has more pitchers to do with. I'm sure he'd love to join
you. I think that's. I love that. It's you know what it is? It's my favorite thing in the world is hungover Sunday morning in the living room energy.
Yeah.
Like when you
read those debates and those arguments
and,
like,
shit.
Yeah.
And you're
I could get a hit off of that guy. I know you fucking couldn't. But like Barstool and you guys are like, you're in a position where you can kind of. It's like, all right, prove it. Go fucking, let's call up Trevor Bauer.
Who is this guy that got the hits? Who was it?
He's just one of the guys who works with us. He's Marty Mush. He's just
Marty Mush.
He's one of the gambling guys. He's got a beautiful mind. He's like, you know, an idiot savant. And
faced other pitchers too?
Yeah, and then the Oakland A's opening day starter ripped a hit off of him. There was a couple guys who were like, they were like, I hope like the scouts don't see this. Like, I don't think I'm going to make the team. Like, he might be having an effect on major league players.
Does he have a legit baseball background?
I mean, well, he must, you know, right? he played college.
Yeah. We all do.
Yeah, like he played, but like Division III college.
Right, but that's still like
more than the average guy. I was like, you're not going to even touch. And these guys were going like balls to the wall. They were like, we are not fucking around. They told him ahead of time, like, you're getting all my pitches, full velocity. And right hit. Away, gets a
Can
hit.
You imagine this, like the fucking rush of confidence that guy has?
He said the best moment of his life.
But like, not just with the hit, but like, that's like one thing is the moment you hit contact and you feel good. But like when he walks off and the first time like he makes eye contact with someone like you, going like,
It was also like the crack of the bat. It like echoed. It went right up the middle. The cameraman had to jump out of the way. It was like. He smoked it.
And he sees like another pro player being like,
it's giving the cap to you. Yeah, man. Yeah. It's
amazing.
Yeah. By the way, we kind of got a little away from it. I was going to say earlier, Stranded and Branded is like the greatest idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, do it.
I think some of the conversation went away and I didn't want to interrupt that, but like, Stranded and Branded's fucking amazing.
And the amount of money that you'll make doing it? Because
hey,
people
can you be my Portnoy and make it happen?
Yeah, we could do Stranded and Branded.
If you guys get into the streaming world and do some of these, like, we're going to lock ourselves in a room for 24 hours, lock ourselves in an island, do it till we're not leaving until it's done.
You definitely, I'm sure Alan is back there just being like, making calls already.
I there's so many things I wanted to do, like that I think where you got the direction you guys are going, and I would love to do more stuff like that because that's all I give a fuck about. Like, sometimes you get a script and you're like, you read it and you're like, yeah, I guess I can fix it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay. And I don't know if I want to spend 3 months doing that. I could definitely spend a month on an island. I already have the island picked out.
You're fucking doing this.
Yeah. Right outside the Bahamas. A beautiful family owns it. I've reached out to them.
A beautiful family owns it.
By the way, at the time they were trying to sell the island.
Oh, Epstein.
Little Saint, what is it?
Buddy, if we did Stranded and Branded on Epstein's Island.
Yes. I'll tell you this, the views will be through the roof.
I don't know how many brands are going to be down, but the ones that are going to get their money's worth. That's for certain.
Dude, make Stranded and Branded happen.
Yeah, no.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll do it in a heartbeat.
Really?
I will join you if I can.
Well, no,
if
you know what it is? Solo, is you bring out a brand sponsorship. You come out and you go, Bert, it's day four, and I'm bringing out fucking Pirate's Booty. Pirate water. And I'm like, fucking thank God.
But you need snacks, so Pirate's Booty's here.
Yeah, Pirate's Booty's too. And then we just drink by a fire, and I just catch you up, and you know I would not let you talk. I'd be like, I haven't talked to anybody in fucking 5 days. You have no idea. Have I ever told you about the time I got involved with the Russian Mafia?
I like having people who you are close with or friends with come out, and you either get the option. So it's Bert, I'm here with Pirate Water. You can have Pirate Water, or you can have me for the
time. Ooh, you get some yeah. ODU. You start to do some challenges and stuff.
But I can't help you with anything out there.
No,
but you have someone to listen to the stories.
Tell me a story.
Yeah. That actually reminds me, I was going to ask you when you were like earlier, you're like, I don't know what I'm chasing. Do you think you're chasing more money or applause?
Oof. Oh, come on. That's an easy answer.
What do you think it is?
The applause and the praise and the love and the. Yeah. You love. Have enough money. You just love.
It's love. I'm chasing love.
You start off the podcast talking about how you don't get enough appreciation on the internet.
I like the love. Yeah. I love the love. Some guy left a shitty comment on one of our Two Bears posts. I never read comments, but it was like the first, and it was a good post. I liked the post. And so I was like, you know, you get caught sometimes. You go, ooh, comments up. Wonder what it says. Like, it's got to be positive. Usually it's someone you know, and you're like, oh, nice. And it was like, do you remember when Tom and Bert used to be funny or something? And then I was like, oh, I'm going to comment, like, but you thought we were fun. Like, I was trying to think of, like, a fun comment to come back.
Yeah.
And then, like, five people came off the plane and were like, hey, man, I love what you do. I love it. And then I was like, oh, that energy. It's like, I don't really understand people that don't like being famous, because I go, it's really fucking fun.
Right.
It's really fun for someone to go like, hey, you're the fucking Kool-Aid guy. And then to know that you gave them a moment that they just giggled and then go, oh, yeah, I don't think I could ever tap out. Like, I think I'll always
do this for free.
It's always good, like, no matter who you, like, when you're a kid and you see your grandparents and you made their day, like, that was a nice feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just make the day of people who are strangers. And, like, that feels
good. A lot of people.
Like,
but oh, shit.
Like, that person's happy.
Yeah. But it's also tethered to so many other things. Like, not just comedy and podcasting, but, like, introducing you guys to Joe last night. It's fun. I really get off on that.
Sure.
Like, and like, going, like, hey, can I bring you guys over? I love energy. I want, that's why I'm fucking terrified to death, is because that energy.
No energy, bro.
Yeah,
and
energy's,
you know,
over.
Tom's
there.
Dad, when he passed, said something to Tommy, and I think of every day I think of it. He said, buddy, life goes on. Life goes on. And I think of that. It's so funny in that I never met your dad or anything, but that one statement means his life goes on. Because I think of it every day. I think of your dad a lot, where I go, that's such a fucking profound statement, is it does go on. It does go on. And people are forgotten, and you have to do your next day. And there will be days you don't think about me. But that statement sticks with me. And it's my thing I fight against, is I don't want to be forgotten. Yeah. I just want people to go like, man, how cool would Bert be right now? Like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. That's the fucking thing. So I think my thing is not money. Fuck money. It's the... can you leave a mark when you're gone? Like Jimmy Buffett, your dad. Mm-hmm. My grandma, when I think of my grandma, she gave me this necklace. And I think of her all the time. Will you be remembered? And you don't need to be remembered like fucking Winston Churchill. But will you be remembered? And how long can you put off that second death where no one remembers you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long can you live where people still talk about you?
Sure. I like trying to put new people onto it too, because once you've done it, it's like you made your mark. You guys will be remembered forever.
No,
but the amount of people who you can open that door for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that if we're not gonna drink our drinks.
I'm drinking it.
I want to run this idea by you, because we haven't really talked about this publicly yet, but I figured what better place than to talk to you guys about it. We got a new series that we're working on called Not Safe for Work, where we're having hopefully every comic. But right now we're kind of focusing on the newer kind of who's next in New York. And it's like Tiny Desk music performances, but for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the Barstool office, very like literally where our desks are. Just kind of like, they're not in
doing
a studio. Stand-up?
Doing
like a 15-minute stand-up. And it's that same sort of vibe as Tiny Desk, where it's like a different setting. And it's in front of the Barstool audience, like we're going to be, you know, the people in the crowd. And you just have these like new killers come in.
But Tiny Desk brings in some actual music fans for those shows.
Yeah.
Will you guys have any outside people? If not, my thing is, I think that, you know, that reminds me a bit of like doing a private or like an award show,
mm-hmm.
where like the thing is, you want to be fair to the comic, especially like an up and coming person, you want excited audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Cause right, like, it's right, one right. thing if you're like, and we work here, and it's like,
true. Well, that's why I think
Kevin and I differ on that. I think our fan, our
coworkers
will be excited. I think everyone at the office loves stand up comedy. I think everyone will be like, fuck yeah, this is going to be great.
Yeah. No. But I'm going to poke holes in this. Here's the problem. I'm not going to work new material. Obviously I'm going to try to sell it to a streamer. And even with the young, you want big names. And what I would say bring in big names and have them do, have the audience call out bits for them and say, like, if you go, Bert, tell the machine.
Yeah,
and we all laughed at the idea that I'm telling the machine. And then I told the machine, But I got to fuck around with inside the story because I'm telling it to people that kind of already know it. Like, if you said, tell old jokes, I'd be like, oh, yeah, easy. I don't have to work. I can just show up and do it. And that's what makes Tiny Desk so great is you're listening to Scarface sing one of his bangers, but he's doing it in a different way.
Right.
When you hear them play acoustic, that's the secret in the sauce isn't the actual musician playing. It's them playing in an intimate setting.
Right. Yeah.
So if you bring, bring
well, that's kind of what we're hoping to do is like, it's not, you know, you're not in a club or a theater. It's like, it's just, it's kind of comedy in a weird spot that's not usually there.
Set up one night, set up one night and bring in bangers. Bring in,
well, listen, we want to do that by
Mark
the way.
Norman,
you know,
Shane Gillis, Ari Shaffir, Big J Okerson, but set up one night and only have them do one bit each, but it's and the audience picks the bit. And but they don't. The comic doesn't know it in the fly. One of the funner
that
things
that wouldn't be an insult to you as a comic.
Not at all.
I would think that. I guess it's good to talk to you. I would think if it's like, hey, come on in. Like, their guys are gonna yell shit at you. Like, I'd be like.
I mean, there's different ways you can do. Like the newer up and comer. I don't think you should. They definitely want to be prepared and tight
and ready to go. By the way, I said like the new up and comers. Like, I would love Soda and Big J to come through. I just didn't, you know. I mean,
but have like them do something that's tired for them.
Podcasts.
Have them do something that's tired for them. Like I did it to you guys last night when I go, Joe, they've got the best small dick story in the world. Have you ever heard their small dick story?
I don't think so. Oh, one other thing about the audience, like however you set it up, like wherever the stage is. Have whatever the audience is be tight.
Yeah.
Like, don't have people spread out.
Right. It's like, because it's almost like one row.
If it's going to be 25 people or less, you need it to be very compact.
Okay. I'll do the first episode. But it's got to be stuff I've already done on Netflix specials. You can't tell me about it before. It's like, it's the fun, like, one of my favorite stories Tom has. And it would be cool to see maybe two comics do it dueling. But like, we made Ron White tell Tater Salad at Rogan's Club one night. Mm-hmm. They were all chanting the machine. I saw Ron White in the thing, and I said, I'll tell the machine if Ron White comes down and tells Tater Salad.
Hell yeah.
Ron White's like, fuck it, I'm in. And he comes down, and he goes, I don't even fucking remember the goddamn bit. And he piecemealed this bit. It murdered so hard, I swear to God, that when he was done, they all started chanting the machine again, and I realized I can't tell the machine it's not as good as that bit.
Yeah.
And I went, I got to do material to get you ready for the. I got to lower this bar a little bit. I'll do it, but it would be fun, like when I said tell your small dick story to Rogan. That's one of my favorite stories in the world. Tommy's story about finding the wallet is one of my favorite stories in the world. And I would listen to him tell it again, and that's what you want to capture.
Yes,
is the. People have heard this, but you're hearing it a different way.
Little wrinkles in it.
It's you're playing acoustic. It's like we all saw Nirvana play all their songs, but when they did it acoustic and you heard Kurt go, hold on, are we in E? You're like, oh shit. Fuck. Yeah, they're really working this.
It would be
cool. Tommy, can they tell your small dick story?
Yeah.
It's one of my, and by the way, we did it on the cruise.
Yeah.
We did it on the cruise. You guys are real inspirations to me because you live life untethered. You are real genuine bros, and I love that energy.
Thank you, bro.
This is one of my, I would say, top five favorite stories I've ever heard.
Come on.
Now, this sucks because the bar is high, but I still think it's going to deliver.
Okay. It still delivers.
Let's hear it.
Can we do it in a team?
Yes.
So, like we're at a dinner party.
Just tell the story?
No, like we're at a dinner party. Like we're at a dinner party. And I love, you be my wife, you correct me when I'm wrong.
Okay, deal.
So he goes to this big hockey convention.
Yep.
Oh, was I right?
I mean, it's the Spit and Chicklets, the Chicklets Cup in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
It's a big roller hockey tournament.
And he's a big hockey player. All bros, everyone's killing beers. He goes in to take a piss, and a dude walks in the bathroom.
I'm at the urinal. And the big long line for the bathroom was like at this venue in Buffalo.
Urinal with partitions, dividers?
No, I don't think so. I think it's standard urinal. And I just hear this commotion behind me. And it's just like, just some dude who just goes, fellas! And everyone like turns their head.
They're in a bathroom. They're in a bath. No one's talking. Everyone's taking a piss. Fellas!
And he just rips his pants down. And he goes, I got the smallest dick in the room. And everyone like paused, like, what the fuck? And he got a little dick.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And like everyone's kind of like, what the hell's gonna go on? What's gonna happen? And then you start going, who's got smaller? Who's got smaller? And another guy slides into the middle room and he's like, fellas! I got the smallest dick in the room. And he drops his pants and everyone's like, who's got smaller? The place is now just going nuts. Who's got smaller? Who's got smaller? And the fucking, the stall door flings open like Big Bird kicks in. He's like, fellas! I got the smallest dick in the room. And his dude pulls pants out and it's three dudes in the middle of the room wagging their little dicks around. And everyone's going, who's got smaller? And just like, it was primal. It was chaotic. And
that's
then,
just
and then
boys.
Someone noticed.
Boys.
Someone noticed me and they were like, John, 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 John. And I was like, I don't have a big dick by any stretch of imagination, yeah. But in a who's got small competition, like, it is. I was like, I'm gonna ruin the vibe.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I like skedaddled out of the room, which was the greatest sense of confidence for me ever. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, boys. I'll fuck up the little dick competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got a normal dick. But then we actually, so we did a show in Buffalo. We did a show in Buffalo probably 3 months ago, 6 months ago.
Yep, yep.
And the guys came.
Those guys?
Those guys yep. came and they had
their t-shirts made
us.
Up.
And then they were like, just so you know, by the way, because I've told the story a million times. They were just so you know, when we were chanting John, we weren't chanting for you. We had our buddy John. His name's John Tiny Dick. And I was like, but the ultimate kicker, I don't know if you've heard this yet.
We got an update on the story.
They show us the dick of one of their other buddies. They're like, this is who we were trying to get out. This is John. And they show us his dick. And we were all like,
what is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, dude, that's fucking really small. Like,
they had the photo of it?
They had it. It was a five of them
he,
or whatever.
He would have absolutely lost a small dick contest. It's like, if this is what you guys are calling small, your crow rolls
they
deep.
Had won that Chicklets Cup or they'd won a separate hockey tournament. So it's the five of them posing with a trophy, but none of them are wearing pants.
Holy
so
shit.
So I was just like, hey, boys, just so you guys know, the four of you have a huge cock. He's got a normal butt.
That's a good crew. This group of guys are fucking fun guys.
Yeah, that's
dude. We did that when we were on the cruise. Our first night, I had not been drinking for like 4 months, 3 months, and I get on the cruise and the energy. We do our first live like moment on the cruise, and it's no one really knows what the cruise is, but we have like a Speedo contest, and everyone starts looking at one guy's Speedo as not having a big dick. And I said, I'll give $5,000 to the smallest dick on this boat.
Dicks start coming out, right? For $5,000?
Women start going, him! 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 I wish, hey, Pete can't hear this, but we have a picture of that guy's dick.
Yeah.
He showed it to Leanne. He had to prove it. He showed it to Miss Pat.
Yeah. Oh! Yo! Showing your tiny dick to Miss Pat is like torture.
Because you know it's just going to be in the expression of like, mm.
Oh, I felt really bad for
give
the guy
him
who
the
came
5,
in second place.
Yeah, you know, because you don't get money.
I ended up giving $2,500 because yeah. I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you just got a small dick in your energy,
was it like a micro penis? Yeah.
Pete, text me if you're listening. We have a picture of the dick. I won't share it online.
I'd almost rather have a full-blown micro than like a bizarrely small. At least like yeah. that guy, yeah. he goes around and wins $5,000 yeah, challenges.
It's like you'd rather be a little person than 5'3".
Right, right. Turn me into a full-blown circus act.
Hey, no, dude, I have a medical condition, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to win $5,000 from
five,
birth.
Three,
you just have a three-inch penis.
Yeah, yeah, no.
That is, but that is the energy I strive for in life.
Fellas.
Is
the fellas. Bro, it's funny, the people who do know it, when you say fellas, it's like, it's almost like Fight Club. It's like, yeah.
Should we do it now?
It's a lifetime thing. Just no, we should wrap this up. This is perfect.
Airport,
hey, thank you guys. Yeah.
Bro, thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
One of our producers is getting really mad if I don't say, go subscribe to Out of Order. Go watch a show.
Yo, for real, let me say it, because you're terrible at talking about yourself. Yeah. John and a couple guys at Barstool have a new sketch show called Out of Order. That I genuinely think is one of the funniest fucking things on the internet.
Sketch?
And I don't know how this guy did it. All of a sudden, 10 years in, he's like an Academy Award winning actor.
Really?
Like he's acting
really
in these skits, and it's like where the fuck has this been for a decade, bro? And the guys editing it, our guy Pavs, can make like movies. We got Owen and Sass who can write all this shit. Like, all of a sudden, they have one of the funniest fucking things on the internet. So we'll do the podcast forever, but this is going to be the money
the
maker out of order.
Is so funny that I actually didn't know it was him at first.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, wait, that can't be the same guy.
It's jarring.
Like, it's really like he made a comment about Zins. What was the comment of? Do you ever?
It was like someone asked me what they were, and I was like, you ever like want to feel really good but really bad at the same time? And like really happy but really sad, and like really wired but also pretty nauseous, and like super locked in but you need a nap.
I got the product for you.
Zin, that's your new marketing campaign right there. Well, congratulations on that.
Dude, thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen, for coming.
Congratulations to you guys. Yeah. I mean, you thank conquering you. The world. See you, Brandon, brothers. And Stranded. Yeah. Stranded and Brandon.
Stranded and Brandon, baby.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.